Good morning and welcome again to the podcast, Renewing the Face of the Earth. My name is Father Mark Blakely, an Anglican priest and artist serving at Holy Cross in Vicksburg, Mississippi. From my stained glass studio located in a 19th century former Sisters of Mercy convent, I'll be sharing reflections on art, spirituality, and Anglican culture. This week, I'm teaching another introductory course on stained glass at the Southern Cultural Heritage Center. I'm excited to actually have a couple students traveling all the way from Alabama to spend the week in this workshop. And as always, I'm a little nervous about initiating 8 people with different expectations into the art of stained glass. The first night, they learn to cut glass, and this is always the hardest night for the students as they encounter the medium for the first time and see how difficult it is to shape to their will. What kind of glass cutter to use? How much pressure to apply? Which direction to go? Do I start at the edge of the glass? Why won't it follow the line? Why do I keep breaking it right in the middle? Is this glass cutter even working? These are all among the many questions they will ask, and all seem a million miles away from this notion of calling I've been speaking of. After all, I'm describing the experiences of mystics like Plotinus and Pseudo-Dionysius, of divines like Hooker and Herbert, of romantics like Coleridge and Wordsworth, and of inklings like Lewis and Barfield, all great men of poetry and genius. It's true that our experience of the call of beauty may not be as sharp or as frequent or as memorable as some of these. Surely few of us will have anything like the calling of St. Paul on the Damascus Road, who saw the third heaven and came back with such a distinct and defining call to be the apostle of the Gentiles. But the experience I'm describing isn't just the property of what are called mystics or artists, but is part of the art of being human. And if ever we are to hear this call, we must lay aside any prideful notion of the artist being the rare genius. Kandinsky's description of the artist visionary who is misunderstood even by those closest to him, but who drags humanity up to glory in his coattails. It's not that an artist is a particular kind of man, explained the great thinker Ananda Kumaraswamy, but that every man is a particular kind of artist. Art in the classic sense is simply the knowledge by which we make or affect something, whether a meal or a painting. There is an art of cleaning, as much as there is an art of arranging, as much as there is an art of transfiguring. I still remember the sheer joy of learning the simple art of washing pots in a dining common that fed a couple thousand students. A crew of 3 of us would be met by a hallway stacked floor to ceiling with hundreds of industrial pots at the end of the night. One would wash, another rinse, and another dry, but everything depended on the first guy, the washer. That was my job, because I was the best. And grabbing a giant pot, I'd hoist it into the sink, and in a matter of seconds, pressure wash out all the corners of congealed industrial gravy or hardened mashed potatoes or crusted cheese macaroni. Here, in the fury and the steam, and with a plastic apron sticking to the back of my neck, God taught my fingers to war. Here the zeal of God's house consumed me, and here I hated with a perfect hatred. It was my first real job, and an early step in learning my life's calling, that a man can work hard and delight in the work of his hands. The art was simple, and the joy was pure, and I've carried its vision through years of much demoralizing labor. That work is essential to our nature, one can hear in those plaintive words of Genesis 2, "And there was not a man to till the ground." Though our work is frustrated by the fall, it is still part of our being made in the image of God. Art and ethics, the Greeks saw, made up the act of life. Artistically, we subdue and replenish the earth. Ethically, we are fruitful and multiply. But the act of life was set in the context of the contemplative life, for Adam tended and kept the garden where God dwelt with man. Cultivation and culture and cult were all one. Adam was prophet and priest and king. Traditional cultures emulate this vision of wholeness between the active and contemplative life, never dreaming that man could live by bread alone. Ananda Kumaraswamy, curator of Indian and Islamic art at the Boston Museum of Fine Art, wrote, "Primitive man, despite the pressure of his struggle for existence, knew nothing of merely functional arts. The whole man is naturally a metaphysician. He made no real distinction of sacred from secular. His weapons, clothing, vehicles, and house were all of them imitations of divine prototypes, and were to him even more what they meant than what they were in themselves. He made them this more by incantations and by rites. Thus he fought with thunderbolts, put on celestial garments, rode in a chariot of fire, saw in his roof the starry sky, and in himself more than this man so-and-so." "Contemplation is the essential activity of all artists," claimed Evelyn Underhill, the Anglican scholar of mysticism. "The artist is no more and no less than a contemplative who has learned to express his love in color, speech, or sound." This is as true for the craftsman as for the so-called fine artist. "For both have to provide," Plato says, "for both the bodies and souls of your citizens." You know, like a shoemaker, providing for both bodies and souls. Anyways, "we are whole men, not merely artists, accountants, managers, or shopkeepers. And so though we work according to art for love of the work to be done, our work must proceed from and return to the contemplation of our end, the call of beauty." Although we are all of us fragmented to one degree or another, and in this age more than in any other, still there are glimpses we find of our Edenic purpose in the beauty of craftsmanship and in a job well done. I saw this working in a cabinet shop in Atlanta with a lot of the most broken men I've ever known. Nearly all had been through prison, and some were on their way. They had lived hard, drunk hard, and lost most of what they'd ever loved. They'd bristle real quick when provoked by a foreman, mutter something about not being a company man, and walk off sight. But they were fiercely proud of their work. It was their strongest remaining mark of humanity, and there wasn't one of them that wouldn't soften when approached about how to make something. They loved their art and wanted to share it. Every man is an artist, and we all have a calling to work out, not the least of which is the very art of being human, the call to contemplation and communion with the divine. I remember distinctly the sight of one of these hardened-to-life men running his hand over a piece he'd just finished, his eyes dancing in a dim apprehension of the call of the beautiful. A mystic for a moment. Thank you for joining me for Renewing the Face of the Earth, Conversations on Art, Spirituality, and Anglican Culture. Come, Holy Ghost, and fill the hearts of thy faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be made, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth.